Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas is styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Welcome to the Baseball Insiders. Happy Friday. Happy spring training games day. The games don't count, but they are happening. There's something for you to watch. You don't have to judge live BP alone anymore. Here they come. About a month left before opening day. What better time to preview what we're going to see this month? Prospects we get to overreact to. Position battles we get to track. And here to do it with me, I am Adam Weiner. I don't even remember if I said my name, but I did just now. Is fan-sided MLB insider Robert Murray, who's got boots on the ground in Arizona, which is one of the two locales where February and March become a paradise for baseball fans. Robert, how you doing? Here we go.
Yeah, let's do it, baby. Spring training is here, and I could not be more excited about it. This is the time where, although like it's nice having spring training, like being here and everything, that also means the snowbirds are in full effect here in Arizona, which that kind of makes me sound like a grumpy old man. But that being said, baseball is here, which I'm very excited about. So I'm anxious to dive into that, watch that, and then also talk about some spring training and also Major League Baseball, like regular season storylines here. So good to be here. Adam Weiner, how are you doing?
I am good. Look, I get to be a little bit of a baseball grump here too. I am very thankful for the World Baseball Classic this year because this is the 10-day period, like February 20th to March 2nd, where spring training games excite me. I derive joy from them. And then after that point, I kind of want to sim to the regular season. Just get me out of here. Get me healthy. Like, I think I'm good on the exhibitions. But for the time being, that's when the WBC is going to kick in and really save me. For the time being, I could not be more excited to see baseball that, again, doesn't count. No standings. Do not be citing to me these Grapefruit League standings and bragging about your team and bragging about how they show renewed chemistry. These players are all working on things. These roster battles, people are trying to force their way onto the big league roster into a starting role. Prospects are trying to take advantage of the showcase. And for the early part of spring training, it really is at its most exciting. So we appreciate everybody joining us again, the Baseball Insiders, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, and the Prospect Show specifically on Tuesdays, co-hosted by me and Eric Cole. Join us in the Discord if you have not. That is the All-Star Tiers, where Robert's private Q&A is. That's Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time. Baseball Insiders newsletter, fansided.com/baseball-insiders is the feed. fansided.com/newsletters is how you sign up. Just check Robert's tweet from yesterday, by the way. An easy way to link directly to that twice per week. We're in your inbox as well. So, Robert, you are in Arizona, obviously trying to take in as many of these games as you can. That means you get to see some familiar faces in new places. Which familiar faces who have moved around are you most excited to watch once games get underway this weekend in their new homes?
I would say, I mean, the obvious answer here is Kyle Tucker, right? Like seeing how he ends up adjusting here in LA. Well, obviously it's not technically LA right now, but it's going to be. But the fact that he ended up joining such a star-studded roster here with the Dodgers, like automatically becomes one of the highest paid players ever in baseball by signing a $60 million per season contract. I mean, it's an incredible deal. And to see how he adjusts, it feels like people are really watching his body language super close already in spring, and Cubs fans are getting on him for not looking like enthusiastic or whatever. He's a nonchalant dude. Let him adjust, let him do his thing. He will be just fine in LA, but all eyeballs are definitely on him for sure. You can say the same thing about a guy like Edwin Diaz. Another one too is, I'm not going to be able to see him because I'm not going to Florida for spring training, but it's going to be Freddy Peralta. He's a familiar face for David Stearns there with the Mets. Know each other from their time with the Milwaukee Brewers, and Stearns did an excellent job of scouting Peralta, and there were some others in the Brewers organization as well that were obviously like very hands-on and watching him with the Seattle Mariners, where they acquired him for Adam Lind. But he's got 1 year remaining on his contract. And if that fit goes as well as they would expect, you would think he'd be a serious candidate to stay in Queens long-term. But as of this point, I don't believe there's been any conversations.
I am watching a couple of guys on the East Coast, and it's two players who go hand in hand with one another, Pete Alonso at Orioles camp and Jorge Polanco holding down first base at Mets camp. He looked pretty smooth in the highlights that came out on Thursday. Obviously, every clip of Polanco trying to learn the position is going to get disseminated, like whether he makes a great pick or lets one dribble away, like that one Bo Bichette grounder that people can't stop retweeting. But I'm intrigued to see how the Mets infield picture shakes out with an unfamiliar name at first base. And Alonso is at Orioles camp acting like he is receiving the love that he believes he deserves. And I think his relationship with Mets fans, you know, they believed in him, they backed him. But with the Mets organization, I don't think they were terribly upset to see him get a payday and what he considers to be greener pastures. And I think he is going to be using that energy and using that comfort that he's receiving from the Orioles organization as fuel. And so far, he's said all the right things. He is sort of the veteran centerpiece of their youth-laden efforts. The Orioles have gone through a lot of nastiness already with Jackson Holliday and Jordan Westberg, but he has been the constant. And offensively, I expect him to mash from day one there. So it's all about using that, you know, new city bump and new face of the franchise bump as fuel.
No, totally. And we saw how he ended up interacting with an Orioles fan who mentioned that he had a Mets fan friend and went womp womp. So it's, and the other one too, and like it has Orioles ties, no longer there, but it's Grayson Rodriguez. He was the guy to get them Taylor Ward. And if he ends up becoming a dude, stays healthy, ends up living up to his potential, that's a huge move for the Angels there, because he's controllable and they need pitching. So I think that one's definitely the other one that I think myself and probably plenty of people around the league, but also especially Angels people, are going to be watching closely as well.
Are you a Smashburger king? Creating those crispy edges and the intense beefy flavor that puts fast food to shame? Thanks to Omaha Steaks, I never have to worry about whether I have high-quality proteins on hand. And they have so many options, handcrafted steaks, convenient comfort meals, and it's always excellent. Celebrate President's Day with the exceptional handcrafted flavor and convenience of Omaha Steaks. Get 50% off the world's best everyday protein. Go to omahasteaks.com for 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And for an extra $35 off, use promo code YUM at checkout. That's 50% off at omahasteaks.com and an extra $35 off with promo code YUM at checkout. Go to https://omahasteaks.com to get 50% off site-wide during their President's Day sale. And use promo code YUM at checkout for an extra $35 off. Minimum purchase may apply.
Now, what about some less familiar faces, the prospects who are getting, there are some that are getting a little bit clearer early showcases compared to others. A lot of prospects are going to get a chance to fight their way up from minor league camp in the early going. You'll see a lot of 96s and guys wearing 98 playing in big league games in the fifth inning. And if you're attending in person, there will be a lot of checking your roster sheet and going, guy's not even here. But there are certainly some prospects who, whether or not they actually crack the opening day roster, are going to be given a legit shot at it. Which prospects are you most excited to see in sort of the early days of camp get some game action under their belts?
Yeah, I mean, I'm going to start with one that you're going to love right off the top here. Right off the top here. It's LeGrande with the New York Yankees. He has blown people away with that organization with his early results. He had a three-pitch at bat yesterday against Aaron Judge that led to a strikeout on 102.6 mile an hour pitch. Had some folks tell me he touched 103. Everything is pointing up for him, and he's just incredible. Like, I'm even having people come up to me at my gym just raving about him. So that's pretty exciting there for him. I'm gonna then go to some pretty household names here. Connor Griffin, Pittsburgh Pirates. Earlier reviews on him are incredible. He's 19 years old. He's barely played any games at Double A. So we got to be careful about putting him on the major league roster on opening day. But to me, it feels like something that definitely has a chance here. He has wowed Pirates people. He's an incredible talent. And you don't want to put too much pressure on him by any means too early. But he seems to be living up to the hype and then some. And then the other one is Kevin McGonigal with the Detroit Tigers. Everyone is super giddy about him. And I think there's absolutely a world where we see both of those guys on the opening day rosters. How likely that is, I don't know. But is it possible? Absolutely it is.
You mentioned Connor Griffin. I will be heading to Clearwater on Sunday to watch Phillies Pirates split squad. And my question is, how split is my squad going to be? Like, can you get me Connor Griffin on the road trip? Like, does Bo Chandler want to take a bus ride? Like, how split is that squad going to be? Who are you sending where? What are you going to give me? And at least among the Phillies, like, Justin Crawford, Aiden Miller, Andrew Painter. I don't know how many of those you can give me, but if you're going to send Connor Griffin to the other Pirates game, which I would understand, wanting to save him for the home crowd. But if by any chance you just give me a couple of gifts from that Pirate system, and then Phillies, if you could do your part, sub all those dudes in, whether it's to start the game or in the fifth or sixth inning, I would be very appreciative. No one loves a super split squad of just, quad A veterans. Like, if you could just give me a little bit of juice, that would be great.
No, for sure. But it's hopefully for your sake, you could end up seeing Connor Griffin there, because it feels like, people who follow baseball closely are obviously aware of him, like being one of the best prospects in recent baseball memory. But I think after spring training here, there's going to be people who see highlights, who see him hit a baseball farther than almost anybody this spring, and just be like, holy crap. Like, between him, Paul Skeens, Bubba Chandler, obviously the new additions, they have some other players as well. It's an exciting time to be a Pirates fan. Hopefully AJ Pierzynski hears me say that, because he gave me crap the last time I was on foul territory and called them my Pittsburgh Pirates, which I'm on the bandwagon for them right now. If they do well, I'm going to look like a genius. If they struggle, I'm going to look dumb. So we'll see exactly how it goes. But I'm usually optimistic about the Pirates on the show, or just in general. But this year, I'm as optimistic about the Pirates as I've ever been.
The LeGrand Hay thing, I can't let it go. Like, I'm a little bit torn. I do wonder what your thoughts are here, because the Yankees did not replace Devin Williams and Luke Weaver, who both left this year. Their bullpen additions were Cade Winquest and the Rule 5. I'm intrigued. Like, it's an intriguing project, but they didn't go out and get Robert Suarez. They didn't go out and get established relievers. So a lot of fans are watching LeGrand Hay. No business past double A to date. His whole resume is low minors and double A, but the raw talent is undeniable. And the Aaron Judge BP at bat, where he served him 99, Judge homered off him, and then the next time Judge circled back around, he threw an absolutely perfect 102.6 mile an hour pitch on the lower inside corner, blew him away. So it is sort of, he knows what a challenge is. He viewed it as an opportunity and said, okay, I just work on my arm out at 99, but I guess I'll go 102 and make you look like a fool, captain of the Yankees. Like, the guy being able to do that in an at-bat that he perceives as larger than others has real significance. And you watch that and you can't help but think, okay, we didn't really finish the bullpen. So is he the bullpen ace we're looking for? Is he the Dellin Betances? Maybe. But 2 points, you have an arm like that with that talent, with that body. It's not like he's frail and slim. And it's not like he doesn't have real issues. He's had command issues in the past. So I don't think you can stop the starter trajectory. I don't think you can just say, like, we need him in the bullpen because we didn't sign anybody. So sorry, we're going to give up on you as a starter. Start going max effort. Start learning how to do that out of the bullpen. Also, even if you use him this year in the bullpen, and then say, don't worry, he'll be a starter next year. This is just a blip in his development. We'll go right back to it. It's hard to put the toothpaste back in the tube. Yankee fans have watched Jabba Chamberlain go to the temporary bullpen stint, turns into 0.29 ERA, turns into the next year in 2008, they have no idea what to do with him. He's making starts. He's relieving. You miss him in the bullpen because he was great there. Okay, well, now he's in the rotation. He's not quite as good. Fans are mad. Fans want him back in the bullpen, but he wants to start. He's a starter, You do have to deal with that kind of stuff. If LeGrand Hay is great in the bullpen, I'm just warning you, it's not going to be that easy to be like, don't worry about it. Just a couple of months. Next year, he'll be a starter. Will he be? Because he's your best reliever all of a sudden. So I don't know. Is this a concern for the Yankees, or should they worry about installing someone who's obviously got ridiculous stuff and could obviously be helpful this year, installing him in the bullpen just because of what might happen down the line? Should they be concerned about that, or should they just be like, look, he's great, who cares? Who cares about next year? There could be a lockout anyway.
No, this is something where it's good that they have this kind of flexibility here, because let's say he can be a bullpen guy now, maybe he could start, but either way, like once these guys come back from injuries for the Yankees this season, is there really going to be a spot for him in the rotation? So we'll see. But that being said, if you can have him be an impact guy, and this is a dangerous comp, but I want to make it clear, I'm not comparing him to Mason Miller by any means, but like Mason Miller has always been, there's always been conversation about, oh, could he be a starter? Is he a bullpen guy? He's a freaking incredible reliever. And you saw the Padres trade the top prospect in baseball to go out and get Mason Miller and JP Sears at the deadline. Like if he can be a high-end reliever where you can end up more than replacing a Luke Weaver or a Devin Williams, that's an impactful thing for me. Does it change his trajectory in the future? Like, yeah, like it's going to be have a lot more eyeballs on it, because if he's great as a reliever and he's just good as a starter, people are going to be questioning that. But also, people question everything when it comes to the Yankees. I think you have him be a reliever if you need him to be. Maybe he can make a spot starter too. Maybe he can even have a more impactful role in the rotation. But if he's just a bullpen guy for this season, that to me is perfect, because an impact arm that can be thrown 102.6, 103, strikeout Aaron Judge on three pitches with like precise location, which can be spotty at times. I get that. That's a pretty darn good thing. And shoot, we even saw the Brewers do it with Jacob Mizorowski, where he started as a starter, then it came or ended up coming back as a reliever or doing his thing as a reliever. So there's history with it, but be patient. But it seems like the Yankees have a real gem right there.
I do think you nailed it, where in terms of a big league role this year, it is pretty much bullpen or bust for him. The rotation goes deep. When people come back, even if somebody goes down, you're going to have Gerrit Cole and Carlos Rodon replacing them, and even Clark Schmidt. And on the pecking order, like Ryan Yarbrough is going to be ahead of him in the rotation pecking order, right? It's going to be much easier for him to break into a bullpen. I guess break glass, whether or not there is a case of emergency when you got a guy that good. The Mason, again, it's not a Mason Miller comp.
Nope.
There's a lot that has to go right for Legrani to ever even approach that ceiling. But that 102.6 mile an hour pitch to Judge, I think a lot of people rightly were able to separate it and say, he's not Mason Miller, but there are not many people outside of Mason Miller that can do that thing. And I think that's where I land.
No, 1,000%. Shoot, you have, Mason Miller. I mean, I'm not going to mention the Aroldis Chapman with the high velocity kind of thing. But like it plays, especially out of the bullpen, keeps him fresh. And if all of a sudden you have a guy who can be pumping 103, shoot, maybe 104 during the postseason, it's a pretty incredible weapon that you have there. So if I'm the Yankees, I don't overcomplicate it. I don't overthink this. I think it's pretty clear that he's going to be a bullpen guy. And also, like, does he make the opening day roster? Does he debut shortly thereafter? But we've seen history now where guys are being promoted from double A straight to the majors. So that would not necessarily be like unprecedented by any means.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect it, but like you said, not impossible. Connor Griffin versus Carlos Legrani, who's more likely to be on the opening day roster? Stay tuned. We'll probably do that in a couple of shows. What about breakout candidates, players who've already been established in the majors, you know, one plus years in the bigs, who you think are going to take a big step forward this year? And that first step is visible in the spring games that are going to come over the next couple of weeks.
So I have Jacob Mizorowski written down here. Can I switch it?
Yeah.
All right. I'm sticking with the Brewers. I'm going Kyle Harrison. The Brewers clearly saw something with Kyle Harrison where they traded Caleb Durbin for him. It was not a move that I was a fan of necessarily right off the bat. But then you remember they did the same thing with Quinn Priester, and Harrison's upside is a whole lot more. And if you can end up getting Harrison back on track and you get him in that pitching lab, which that can get almost anybody maximized. Shoot, I saw with Drew Pomeranz, remember calling him a significant addition, and then getting clowned for it by people in and around the Brewers. And then he actually turned out to be pretty significant. But then I see Harrison and I watch how talented he is, his pedigree, and what the Giants thought of him. And if they can get that guy back and get him consistently locating at the major league level, that could be an incredibly scary addition for the Brewers. And maybe that could end up being their Freddie Peralta replacement, which pretty dangerous. So I'm high on what the Brewers' young pitching outlook looks like.
I'm crossing my fingers. I'd like to see it, especially because I know exactly what Caleb Durbin brings in Boston. Maybe low ceiling, high floor. I love the guy. But if Harrison has a high ceiling too, that would certainly make that look a little bit more even in my eyes. Brewers rotation stacked. They're looking for their Freddie Peralta replacement. Plenty of roster battles across the league, though, where it's a little bit less cut and dry who's going to come out on top there. In terms of rotation battles, where we've got eight starters, we've got to cut it down to five, or McGonagall's going head-to-head with somebody to grab that Tigers shortstop role. Which position battles are you most excited to watch play out over the next couple of weeks?
I would say the Padres rotation battle is one that I'm watching quite a bit here. And they've added some guys here. And the one that's really kind of catching my attention would be Walker Buehler. And Buehler, to my understanding, he had it narrowed down to a few teams in the end. And I wouldn't be surprised if the Phillies were poking around there at the end. But it was the Padres who ended up getting him on a minor league contract. He's got a very good chance of making the opening day roster, from what I understand. And they're very high on what he is and what he can become. Obviously know him very well from his time with the Dodgers. But that to me is one that I'm watching pretty closely. And I think the Padres are going to get some pretty good bang for their buck. They had some good value last year with Gavin Sheets on an NRI. Obviously kind of a different situation here with a pitcher, but I think they're going to get some really good value from Walker Buehler. And I believe he'll be on the opening day roster.
Herman Marquez hates to see a Walker Buehler coming is what you're telling me.
No. Nope.
I mean, again, if you're the Padres, rivalry lines, you don't make that move if you don't think you have something on Buehler. And if you don't think you have a guy who could make the opening day rotation pretty quickly.
No, that's exactly it. I'll tell you, I love what Preller did. I really do. You're not going to hear me criticize AJ Preller often on this show, but he's as aggressive as they get. And he takes flyers like this, and on a minor league contract, if it doesn't work out, he's no worse for the wear. But if it works out, he's going to look like a genius. And I have a gut feeling Preller's going to look really smart for this one. And teams are going to be wondering, why the heck didn't we do that?
Now, I'm going to be in Florida for only a little bit. I don't get to check out quite as much spring training as I might have wanted to in an ideal world. You're going to be in Arizona, of course. Do you have favorite venues? Do you have spring training venues that you love to check out?
Oh, yeah. There's not really – I mean, besides the A's. The A's is tough. But I love the Giants. Cubs is great. Padres is really cool because they share with the Rockies there. Can never go wrong with Salt River, where the Diamondbacks and the Rockies share a complex. And Camelback Ranch is a good distance from me, but it's always good seeing the Dodgers. But if I had to pick a favorite, probably be the Giants, because, I don't know, just you walk in, has a great baseball feel, and it just reeks of garlic fries. And I mean, yeah, I'll probably end up naming my first daughter Garlic. So that's how high on garlic that I am. What about you?
I might name her Camelback Ranch. I don't know. That should be a dip.
That should be a good idea. Yeah. Let's get on that.
Think about it. As if the Dodgers need marketing help. There you go. I've always been a fan of the Tigers complex in Florida. I like the old school feel. I like Palm Beach where the Marlins and Cardinals split. Just that stucco, it screams 1960s baseball to me. I miss Dodger Town. I miss when Cleveland used to be down there. Shout out to Goodyear. You stole a good squad. But I like the ones that feel like they've got a sense of community. I know Clearwater has that too. I could not be more excited to be there this weekend. And hopefully I get to see some good action. Again, split your squad right, Pirates. I'm telling you, send me Connor Griffin. And I'll make it worth your while. I'll talk about you on Baseball Insiders. We really appreciate everyone joining us. So much great content coming in the next year or so. And it all starts in spring training. And even, we've got a great partnership going with the folks at Silver Slugger and Louisville Slugger. Stay tuned for more to be announced there. There was even there's a partnership between the Wilson Sporting Goods folks, the Louisville Slugger folks, and Backyard Baseball. So check that out. There's a collab going across all of their brands, all down to Louisville Slugger and to Evo Shield. So much fun stuff going on here on the Baseball Insiders. You can get it three times a week with Robert Murray and I. You can get it on the Prospect Show with Eric Cole on Tuesdays. Join us in the Discord. Get that Q&A ready. Get your questions prepped. And we will see you right back here next week.
Studies show that 100% of everybody in the world wants to curl up indoors and do nothing because it's so darn cold out there. That's why many people are turning to Bombas, whose pillowy plush slippers and warm merino wool socks have been said to be the most comfortable in the history of feet. Bombas products have been found to boost coziness by up to 1 million percent. Okay, enough fake statistics, but could Bombas socks and slippers really be the cure? Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.